Hey, church. This is my husband, Stu. I normally pray for him before I speak because I'm his wife. I think he needs a little support. But I just wanted to say that when the kids were dancing, I know we talk about that a lot, but it does speak to me. And especially today when they had the flags and they sort of made this stream of color coming out of the pulpit here. I just felt like God was reminding us that his promises is sort of streaming out to you. And really today I just felt like maybe when Stu's speaking that God will release or remind you of his promises for you. And so just put that in the forefront of your mind when Stu is speaking today, and just be encouraged that, you know, never give up, because he's not giving up on you and he's got those promises for you. So just wanted to encourage you, and I'll pray for Stu. So Father God, I just thank you for Stu and what he's saying, what he's got today, his message today, Lord. And we know it's from you, Lord. So we just ask for a stream of your presence coming through Stu today to us, Lord. And just remind us, Lord, of the right things. And Father, just ask that from today, it'll just carry on, Lord. And just have your way, Lord, and in our lives and today. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you. All right. Good morning. Good morning, guys. How are we doing? Had a lot of notices. So that's all right. It's good. Cameron, could you put the... Good man. Okay. Here we go. So I've got a few scriptures to get through. So I'm just going to put them up on the back there as we go through them, just to help you out. All right. So who's excited to hear the word of God this morning? Yeah? Good. Who loves the word of God? Me too. So, yeah, Lord, we love your word. Help me to speak in a way that's helpful. And I just pray that everyone will take something of you away from this time. Amen. Okay, so let's get into it. So, 1 Chronicles 17:1. After David was settled in his palace, he said to Nathan the prophet, "Here I am, living in a house of cedar, while the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord is under a tent." So, this is King David. He is king of all Israel. He's conquered Jerusalem, and that's where he settled. Yet, he is convicted, he's disturbed, because, like he said, the Ark of the Covenant, which is the presence of God, the temple in which that is kept isn't a temple at all, it's a tent. And David is living in his own temple, living in his own palace, and he's making this connection. Why should where I live be much nicer than where, you know, God's presence is, where God lives, so to speak. So, so David's convicted. And he has in his heart at this point to build a temple for God. His heart's desire here is really good, right? He wants to build God a temple. Yet we find out as we read through the story that even though his heart's desire was good, that his timing was wrong. So I'm just going to continue reading the story. If this works. There you go. So picking the story up in 22:7, still 1 Chronicles, David said to Solomon, "My son, I had it in my heart to build a house for the name of the Lord my God. But this word of the Lord came to me, 'You have shed much blood and have fought many wars. You are not to build a house for my name, because you have shed much blood on the earth in my sight. But you will have a son who will be a man of peace and rest, and I will give him rest from his enemies on every side. His name will be Solomon, and I will grant Israel peace and quiet during his reign. He is the one who will build a house for my name.'" Okay, so here we have it. I'm just kind of going through the story quite quick. But David has in his heart to build a temple. Really good. God says, "No, you're not going to build a temple for me." Because even though David was a man after God's own heart, as we understand, David was also a man of war. He was a man that shed blood. So what does this say? And there's a principle here that I'm just trying to lay a foundation of, which is that God does not build on destruction. He doesn't let you build on destruction. God builds on peace. And thanks, Chris. Appreciate that. So there's so much we can learn from this. However, the honor of building the temple, that David was still honored by God because God allowed his son to do it. So you see, Jesus is peace. Often we talk about peace and we think, this feeling that we get, obviously that's part of it. But in scripture, it says Jesus is the Prince of Peace. So we're building on the foundation of Jesus when we build on peace. Okay, so to keep going, what I wanted to point out as well is that as the story goes on, we discover that David's response to this word of God is really key and it's really amazing. You see, David easily could have been offended. He could have been upset. He could have been angry. What about me? What about what I want to do? I want to build your temple. I'm the king. But that wasn't his response. His response was one of humility. And what David goes on to do is he goes on to make all the preparations for the temple. He goes and gathers all the things that were necessary to build the temple. And as we read on the next scripture, 22:14, David said, "I have taken great pains to provide for the temple of the Lord, 100,000 talents of gold, 1,000,000 talents of silver, quantities of bronze and iron, too great to be weighed, and wood and stone." And it goes on, you know, David employed thousands of skilled workmen. He said he employed workmen beyond number. So he went, way beyond the call of duty. He did everything that was in his power to collect as much as he could for that temple to be built. So we read here, he went through great pains. It cost him something. It cost him a lot to provide everything that was needed to build the temple. So there you go. That's my foundation. See, this has been burning in me now for maybe about a month, maybe 6 weeks, I don't know. But God's been talking to me about many of us have in our hearts desires, things that we want to do, things that we want to build, things that we want to see happen. And that's really, really good. It's really good. You know, yet sometimes we can become frustrated or we can become disappointed or disengaged when we don't see them come into fruition, when we don't see them take place, when we don't see them happen. And, And David, looking back to the story, he had a choice because he came to God and said, "God, this is what I want to do." And God said, and God turned around and said, "But you've got to do it my way." And I think, you know, what the point I want to make to you this morning is that all the things you have in your heart to build and to do are probably good things. You know, I'm sure that God inspired David to build that temple. I'm sure that just wasn't David. I'm sure that there was I'm sure that God even planted that seed in David, because David, his heart's desire was to build a dwelling place for God. Yet, David had to come and humble himself before God. He had to surrender his desire to see God's desire come through. Does that make sense? We have to lay our desires down to see God's desire fulfilled. And that's what David did. So just moving on, I'm going to bring this together. So, by gathering all the raw materials, David enabled the temple to be built, even though he wasn't the one to build it. So not always what we're doing, not always what we're gathering, not always everything we're putting into, and necessarily we're not going to be the ones that see the end result. We may be sowing into somebody else's building, somebody else's victory. When we're in the kingdom of God, we're kingdom people. Not everything we lay our hands to are we necessarily going to see the end result in. But it's still really valuable and really important. Okay? From the line of David came Jesus. I mean, you couldn't be more honored than that. So Jesus, our Savior, whose throne has been established forever. When David commissioned Solomon to build the temple, God didn't only promise to David that his son would build it. God promised to David that from his line, the king would come whose throne would be established forever. That king is Jesus Christ, and his throne has been established forever. And because of Jesus, because of his death and his resurrection, we know that we don't build temples anymore to house God's presence. We are the temple of God's presence. Amen? And so God doesn't reside in temples made by man. He resides in us. He resides in his kids, his children. And we also were bought with a great cost, weren't we? A great cost. So we have God the Father who created us. We have God the Son who's redeemed us. And we've got God the Holy Spirit who dwells in us. So we're in a good place, okay? We're doing all right. We're God's kids. And this question that's been burning in me and what God's been challenging me with is what is God building in you today? What is God doing in you? What's he building in you? And I think I've got a slide for that. What is God building in you? Because, you know, we are living stones. 1 Peter 2:5 says, this isn't the whole verse, but the point I want to make is that we are living stones being built into a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, offering spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. Each one of us are a temple. We house the Holy Spirit within us. But each one of us are part of a bigger picture. We're part of church. We're part of the body of Christ. And God wants to use you and he wants to build you. And the part he wants to play in you is really important. Really important. So, yeah, you know, he wants you to excel. He wants you to prosper. We get to advance God's kingdom. We get to co-labor with the creator of heaven and earth to see his rule and reign, his purposes, his will manifest on earth, his presence coming down and changing things. Jesus says, I will build my church. We've just talked about this. Who is his church? We're his church. So what is God building in you? What's he doing in you today? What's he challenging you on today? We are the body of Christ. So his desire is to build in us. And yet, for us to see what God has placed, for us to see the desires and the will of God to take place, to come into fruition in our lives, we have to get to a place where we're willing to surrender our own. And I wanted to give an example of this. And I was struggling last night when I hung. But the example I wanted to give an example that's like every day. How do we see God's desire come when we surrender ours? And what I felt God say to me was forgiveness. When someone upsets you or offends you, you want justice. That's what you want. You want justice, or I do. I want justice. If someone upsets me and riles me, I want justice. I want to tell them what I think. I want to see, you know, I want to point out where they were wrong and where I was right. And yet to see the bigger picture, if when I surrender my will to God, I step into the bigger picture of forgiveness. And God's desire is that we live in forgiveness and we forgive because we have been forgiven. So that's a really basic example, but it's an everyday example, something that we have to do every day because we're human. And that's just a real simple picture of actually seeing God's will when we surrender our own. Because our human nature is for justice. God's nature is forgiveness. Amen? Everyone all right? Yeah? Good. Okay. So, I've got an arrow pointing down here, so I'm going to miss that bit. So if David didn't set out to gather all the materials for building the temple, how would Solomon have been empowered to do it? David took the word of God, he took his promise, and he applied it to his life. He didn't just hear and think, yeah, I agree with what you're saying, God. He actually implemented it. And, you know, faith comes by hearing the word of God, right? So right now, I'm giving you faith. You're receiving faith because you're hearing the word of God. Amen? We agree with that? But the blessing of God comes when you take his word and you apply it and you work it out in your life. That's where the blessing is, yeah? So you've got to take the faith that you hear, that you get, that's built up, and you've got to work it out in your life. And that's a picture of what David did. Right, so how many of you know, if I were to go and walk off a cliff, I would fall and potentially die, depending on what broke my fall and the height of the cliff. Yeah, is that fair? Good. Right. That's because there's a law in place called gravity, in which we all live every day. We're all aware of it, and we have to work within the law of gravity. There are also laws in God's kingdom. Now, falling off a cliff and hurting yourself or dying isn't punishment. It's a consequence of the action you took. You know, you're not punished. It's just a consequence. Okay? So there's also laws in God's kingdom, and they're taking place in our life every day, whether we're aware of it, whether we pay any heed to it or not, whether we believe it or not. God's kingdom has laws, and one of these laws is a law of sowing and reaping, one that you have heard many times and that you'll be aware of. Now, the difference here is timing. Timing. David wanted to build the temple of God. He wanted to do it now. He just wanted to build it. Let's get this temple going. I want to see my king dwelling in a place, the most wonderful temple ever. You see, gravity is instant. When we step off a cliff, there's an instant result. There's an instant impact. Therefore, we're all aware of it. We can accept it. However, sowing and reaping isn't instant. It takes time. You don't have an instant result. You have to go through a period of growth and waiting, and you sow, and there's a time, isn't there, before you reap. However, the outcome is just as certain. It's the law will still, the outcome of sowing and reaping is just as certain. It will come into fruition. David wanted to build the temple now. God wanted him to sow so he would build on peace and wisdom. Sometimes what we want to do right now, we don't realize that we do it from a place of destruction, where God says, if you wait and do it my way, you'll do it from a place of peace and wisdom. Okay? So that's why sometimes we have to wait. We think that we've got it all going, but now we surrender. And what God will do in your life is much better than what you could do yourself. Amen? So Galatians 6, verse 7. A man reaps what he sows. This is Paul talking to the church, talking to the Galatians. It's a principle, order, and consistency that is written into all life. God promised Noah after the flood in Genesis 8. He said, as long as the earth endures, seed time and harvest, cold and heat, summer and winter, day and night will never cease. As long as the earth endures, seed time and harvest, sowing and reaping will never cease. So that just backs up my point. Thanks, whoever wrote Genesis. So what does this mean? A farmer wants to harvest. He must sow his seed into the field. Otherwise, he's not going to get a harvest. And the kind of harvest that he gets is determined by the kind of seed he sows. I know a lot of this is really obvious, but sometimes we need to point it out. So the nature, the quality, and the quantity of the seed is important. You sow barley, you get barley. You sow wheat, you get wheat. Okay? You sow good crop, you get good. You sow good seed, good crop. Bad seed, bad crop. You sow a little, you get a little. You sow a lot, you get a lot. It's pretty obvious, all right? So the principle, this principle also operates morally and spiritually. It's not just physical. It's an unchanging law of God. And look at what Paul says here. It's the same verse. Do not be deceived. God cannot be mocked. So what does that mean? Do not be deceived. God cannot be mocked. So let's not deceive ourselves and think that this law doesn't exist. Let's not deceive ourselves and think that if we sow nonchalantly or if we sow thoughtlessly into our life, that we're going to, if that's what you do, then that's what you're going to reap. But if you sow well, if you sow with wisdom, if you sow generously, if you sow good seed, then you're going to reap good harvest. Okay? So that's what he's saying here. We cannot fool God. If you're wondering in your personal life if there's a lack of harvest, if there's a lack of something happening, then I would encourage you and challenge you just to think about, what am I sowing into this area of my life? Because God can't be fooled. Not that we go out and try and fool God, but I think sometimes we can fool ourselves and be surprised when, I don't know, we don't see certain things happening. I mean, if you never read the Word of God, if you never, ever open His Word and read His Word, the chances are you're not gonna reap loads of revelation, I suppose. I don't want to make a formula. I mean, Neil pointed out to me that there's so much grace on our lives that we can get by without doing these things. Because there's so much grace, and there's that verse where it says, you know, we reap where we haven't sowed because others have done the hard work. You know, and I'm aware of that. But God cannot be mocked. So do not be deceived. And I just feel that challenge. It's an invitation. It's not punishment. It's consequential, you know? So let's make sure that we're aware of it. Is that okay? So, yeah. So I'm not a farmer, but there's no shortcuts. God cannot be mocked. David didn't just collect any materials. David didn't sow nonchalantly or thoughtlessly. David went and got the best of the best of what he could do. He went through great pains. He went far and wide. He was king. He used all his money. He went and, you know, he spared no expense. The seeds that he sowed to reap the temple that Solomon built was phenomenal. What did God sow? I love this. What has God sown? God chose his only son, Jesus, God himself, to come and to be a human, to come, you know, to humble himself. And Jesus didn't just die on a cross. Jesus was humiliated. He was whipped. He was beaten beyond recognition. Jesus went through everything he had to go through to enable to reap the best harvest, to make sure that everything was covered, to make sure that that price was fully paid. So God could reap sons and daughters. That's us. You know, what cost did Jesus pay so that we may step into that harvest and be sons and daughters? Phenomenal. So we're a temple now. We're the temple of God. Jesus, yeah, I've got here. He even endured a moment of separation where God turned his face away. I don't think we can really ever understand, maybe one day when we meet him face to face. So God sowed the very best he had to reap sons and daughters. So this takes me on to what are we sowing in our lives? Back in Galatians 5, Paul likens Christianity to a battleground where the flesh or the sinful nature battles wars against the spirit. Okay, they're at war with one another. In Galatians chapter 6, he uses the example of two fields in which we may sow seeds. So we've got the seed of the flesh or the seed of our sinful nature where we may sow, and we've got the seed of the spirit in which we may sow. And again, it's fairly straightforward. And we're instructed to walk by the Spirit. We're in a season now where a theme where we're looking at walking by the Spirit of God, Galatians 5:25. And to sow into the field of the Spirit. Yet sometimes we expect to reap fruit, spiritual fruit, when we don't seed, sow spiritual seed. If you sow into the Spirit of, what am I talking about? If you sow into the field of sin, of our sinful nature, or our human nature, don't expect to reap spiritual fruit. Does that make sense? Yeah? Okay, but it doesn't mean to say, I don't want to say that you can't step into spiritual gifts. I'm not trying to make a formula. I'm just trying to paint a picture that we have a responsibility. Okay, so sowing to the flesh. Here we go. Whoever sows to please their flesh from the flesh will reap destruction. Whoever sows to please the Spirit from the Spirit will reap eternal life. Again, this is in Galatians. So if we harbor a grudge, we throw ourselves a pity party, we look at pornography, we lie, whatever it is, it might be something really simple. It might not be something as obvious as that, but we're constantly sowing. What we do with our lives, what we do with our tongue, what we do with our time, what we do with our actions, we're sowing. We might not look at it as sowing, but that's what we're doing, okay? So. You know, I love this. You know, when we talk about holiness, I think Keith spoke about having the purity of heart last week, and holiness is a harvest. You think about it. Holiness is something you reap from what you sow. If you want to step into holiness and get closer to God, then you've got to sow into the field which God commands you to sow into. What does sowing to the Spirit look like? We talk so often about fixing our eyes on Jesus. We talk so often about reading his word, who we hang out with, who we open our minds up to, prayer and worship. This morning, we've sowed seeds. You know, when we come into his presence, and we worship him and we pray to him and we talk to him, we're sowing seeds. And it says, let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time, we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. So doing good. You know, we've had some testimonies from Messy Church this morning. I was here. I wasn't much help. I just walk around really and laugh at Chris when he has to dance in front of the kids. But I like being here when I can be. And do not be worried in doing good. You know, the seeds that have been sown over these last few years, phenomenal. The seeds that are sown through Jerry, Lead and Beesom. Do not be weary in doing good. It's a seed. And if we do not give up, we will reap a harvest when we surrender to God and we do it God's way. He will build. He will show you. He will, you know, you will reap that harvest. Amen. So let's do the last verse. This is good. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, especially to those who belong to the family of believers. Therefore, as we have opportunity. Who knows that we have opportunity today? We've all got opportunity. We've all got the best opportunity. Therefore, as we have opportunity, God has made a way for us. The opportunity of a lifetime must be seized within the lifetime of the opportunity. Else it passes you by. I didn't make that up. David seized his. He was king. He seized his opportunity to prepare everything he could to build the most amazing temple of God. All right? What is God building in you? What materials are we giving God to build? We have an opportunity. Right now, there's an opportunity. I have 30 minutes to speak. I've spent 32. But you have an opportunity to listen and to hear and to apply, you know, 30 minutes. Life is full of opportunities. Not all opportunities are equal. Some opportunities run out a lot sooner than others. The opportunity of being, you know, of childhood. The window is always closing. I'm sure parents feel that because your kids get older every day and you see them grow. You have an opportunity. And then it's gone because your kids aren't children anymore. You know, we have an opportunity as children of God. What are we going to do about it? What field are we going to throw our seed into? Are we going to sow into? You know, what I feel like God is saying is he wants us to build. We're his temple. He created us. We've been redeemed. Everything you need for victory in this season is within your reach. Do you believe that? Everything you need for victory in this season is within your reach. So we're blessed according to the word that we hear and put into action and apply to our lives. I think that's all I've really got to say. It's 12:05. So I'm just going to end with some prayer, if that's all right. So Father, I just want to thank you that there's so much to be gained from your word. There's so much hope. There's so much instruction. There's so much grace. And I just pray for all my brothers and sisters who are present here today. And I just ask, Lord, that you will continue to encourage us, to inspire us, Father, to awaken us as we prayed, as we sang this morning, to make sure that we continue to see the value into choosing to sow seeds into your field, into the Spirit, into your realm, into your kingdom. Because even when we don't see immediate results, and even when it may feel hard, or even when maybe we see other people that are excelling before us who don't seem to care about your word or your promises, Father, we know and we believe that when we surrender our desires to you, that you are able to build something in us so wonderful, so awesome, and we desire to see your kingdom come. And your will be done. So I pray that everyone will be full of courage and full of encouragement today, Father. And give us a good week, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.